And then you're up next on seven.
I am. So let's go through the rebalancing here. So Sarah has a structure in place that the trustees are aware of, where employers have the option of prepaying, their years worth of contributions upfront, and that creates a little bit of a discount for the employer. So it's a popular program. What it also creates is a large positive cash flow for Sisera every July, and then a smaller negative cash flow the other 11 months. We try to mitigate the impact of that large cash flow by rebalancing in conjunction with those contributions there. Those contributions have run in about the $300 million range for the past several years. This year in total, there was about $301 million that came in from the prepayments from employers. And we've included another $70 million payment that came in a little bit earlier from Central San paying off their UAL. So in total, we had about $371 million in new money contributions coming in late June through July. And then we took a look at our exposures relative to the new asset allocation and did a rotation as well. So let's take a look on page two of the memo here. You'll see up top that $371 million in new money. The manager withdrawals largely came from international managers, global equity managers, emerging markets, and risk parity. All of those segments had a lower target allocation in the new asset allocation. So 371 in new money, plus about $300 million that moved out of non-US markets and risk parity. The rotation largely went into domestic equity. So you see the increased allocations across several of the domestic equity managers, most notably BlackRock. So this is our passive mandate. We increased this is a relatively large step increase. So leaning into that passive exposure there, we think within the large cap space, we're a little bit more comfortable on the passive side than the active side right now, and it has a larger target allocation as well. We did also take advantage of this rebalancing to top up some of the new diversifying managers. So you see additional $50 million going to Acadian and the new CIT LL Carr strategy, both of which are more defensively oriented, and brought those up. You also see a contribution to cash. This is just some excess money there that didn't have a natural home elsewhere in the short term. It's not a cash drag because we do overlay the cash balance with futures that are meant to replicate the growth and diversifying exposures. So you can think of the cash balance as largely being just allocated across the asset allocation to growth and diversifying strategies. That is
Jim,
large.
before you leave that page, Jackson Square has been kind of volatile in its performance. And Dennis points out that they've been a little bit better in the last year or so. I take it because they're on the list, you've got that's the answer to my question. But how comfortable are you in plugging another $75 million into Jackson Square?
We kept it on the low end. So we wanted the exposure, but we could have leaned into it a bit more. We specifically said, we need the exposure there, but we want to be a little bit more cautious. And so we did reduce from, what the pro forma allocation would have been.
Next time you want to show that caution, I'll give you my bank account
There we go.
number.
So if we take a look at just, as of August 11th, these are all preliminary numbers because it's not a audited time period here. But basically, this brings, we did not contribute to the liquidity portfolio because that was naturally in rundown mode here. You'll see it looks slightly below target. That's really a reflection more of the strong outperformance of the growth markets. In dollar terms, there are still 3 years of benefit payments in the liquidity program. Growth, we brought domestic equity just about up to target. Global international remains slightly over target. And the private markets are slightly under target. And then within risk diversifying, we've pretty much brought it up to target. Pardon me. And you'll see, so after the new money came in and the rebalancing, we're looking at a Preliminary $11.25 billion balance. And no, Mr. Holcomb, we will not have cake.
Okay.
Okay. That concludes my comments on this topic, unless there's any other questions from the trustees.
Any other questions for Tim? I'm not seeing any, so.
Tim, just real quick, just again on Jackson Square.
Yep.
So if we had had some concerns about them and their performance, you feel like they're moving in the right direction and they're currently in an area that we want to emphasize further. So you feel it's worthwhile putting the extra money into that group, the $75 million?
Yeah. Now, part of this is we didn't want them to be too far out of, barring a decision to change their allocation or, change the role in the portfolio, we didn't want to be too far out of target. So if you take a look at this, they are a percent under their target allocation, which reflects our caution there. But it's not enough to say, we have not lost faith in the strategy. We're simply a little bit cautious on where they are in the cycle here. One of the things about Jackson Square is they do take a little bit more of a valuation-centric approach to growth companies, which has led them to stay away from a lot of the tech companies, which hurt in the past year. Now that we've seen tech companies kind of plateau, we've we're getting a little bit more comfortable, but it's a process. So I don't mean to throw anybody under the bus. The managers are there for a reason, but I think our relative convictions are reflected on this page.
Excellent. Anything further for Mr. Price? I don't see anything. So thank you, Tim.
Thank
you. Interesting as always. All right. No. So there's no action required on either 6 or 7. Those are informational items only.